Look, hey, this that rated R. With the homie Shaw, yeah. They telling me to stop. But I ain't even start. Tryna keep it real, yeah. Tryna keep it raw, yeah. Something you can feel, yeah. And help you change your thoughts. Yeah, this that rated R. With that homie Shaw, yeah. Getting vulnerable, yeah. Showing you my scars. Nah, I ain't got no chill, yeah. I do it for my guy, yeah.
Hey, why
yeah.
We do it?
Said I do it for my guy, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hi, yo. Hey, man, listen, we are thrilled to have y'all back.
Sir,
we back in the building, man, and we having a dope conversation. We here with the kings, bro. I'm sitting here with some intelligent, some brolic. Can we sit in here?
We just finished doing some sex.
Right.
You know what I mean? Straight off the yard, baby. You know what it is, baby. It's your boy, Double R. You feel me? Out here, jamming Jay from around the way. You feel me?
Yes, sir. You already know, man. It's your boy, Double L. You know, we here, y'all. We here. We loving life, living life. You know how it go. Y'all see the, you see the double entendre, Double L.
Yes, sir.
Yo, this is Rashad. We just did an episode on, last drop we had was about corny. That was a corny intro for me, but it was just, it's Rashad here. I got to work on my intro, but it is what it is, man. We got a dope episode. And today we're going to be talking about something that, you know, I really feel like is going to be beneficial for all our listeners, man. So we're going to have a conversation that's talking about sex in context with, you know, with fatherhood, man. And so I think this conversation is going to be really helpful for me personally. So I'm a father of three and, you know, my kids are 8 and under. And, you know, in this day and age that we live in, you know, it's like we recognize it's so many ways that people are exposed to sexual content, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
I don't necessarily want to make this a, you know, a judgmental episode or you know, with specifically with the conversation on the topic being on sex. But I think we really want this to be a conversation where people feel like free to just like talk, to really share and be open about like, hey, this was my experience. This is how I was exposed. This is how I, you know, learned about this. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I also wanted to add some questions to my fellow compadres here just to hear how they've dealt with these conversations. Their kids are a bit older than mine from their different perspectives. So, but yeah, man. So what's your thoughts, man? How y'all doing, man? What's going on?
I'm blessed, bro. I'm doing well, man. Everything's going how it's going to be, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, everything's love. So, I think you posed a lot of great talking points here. And I think just the idea of the talk, right? It's very daunting, right? I never really got that traditional talk, you know?
Oh, let's hear about that.
You know, it's a little explicit, but,
let's
you know.
Get there.
Let's do it.
You know,
the
only talk I ever got was, is it fucking yet?
Like,
that was the only talk I got. You know what I mean?
But who is this from?
It was my pops. You know what I mean? Yo, y'all, I got a twin brother, so it was like, yo, y'all fucking yet? Y'all, what y'all doing, you know?
Right, let's get a little context. I know in the last episode, you shared a little bit about your pops. I remember you mentioned like he came home, right? And so like I'm curious as like how the story behind your father kind of impacted that, and because I think somebody can hear that and be like, oh dang, like well, sure. Why was he, you know, what was that? But I think there's context to it that I feel like can add
it can help, right? Yeah. Absolutely. So my pops was incarcerated for 11 years. So when he came home, I was 14. My brother, I was 14 going to 15.
Yeah.
And so, man, like, I think the idea of having a consistent, I would say we had my uncle, we had my grandfather as and other uncles as, I would say, consistent male role models.
Right.
But you know, it's not like your pops, though. Like, I mean, I think that level of you know, somebody to look up to type of persona, right? So him coming home, you know, I think made him coming from prison, coming home, as I would say, it definitely, we wanted, you know, I think as every young boy wants to impress their father.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. So I think that had a huge impact on like oh shit, like that's what we supposed to be doing right now. Like that's what we supposed to be on. Cause you know, I'll be real, like my brother and I, man, we was like super green, man. We into sports heavy, into video games. Like we really love that like fantasy and innocent fun. You know, and we didn't like, and we wanted to be, as the old folks would say, mannish. You know what I mean? But although we were of age, man, we still love fun. We still love that childlike vibe. So, him coming home definitely brought another layer of leveling up, right?
Right.
And I feel like it was a call of indoctrination. Mm. You know, like it was like a way of, yo, like this is what you got to do to step into your manhood. And I feel like it exposed me to a lot of things that I definitely wasn't ready for. I think any kid from 14 to 18 isn't ready for any type of sexual activity. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion, I think psychologically you're not ready for that. Mm-hmm. And as well, you probably acting out some other trauma is why you probably, you know, want that or need that. You know what I'm saying? So whether it's been exposed to porn or exposed to other sexual behaviors. But I think growing up, man, it definitely I think coming of age in that years of 14 to 18, like it really exposed me to a lot of sexual activity and like not really understanding what was at stake, you know.
I like that coming of age joint, though. This might be a good title for this joint. Coming
for
of
sure.
Age.
So, I will
right?
I will talk to you about the talk that I had with my father. Let's take it back to South Florida, Miami, Florida, in the 90s. The home of the Hoochie Mama. I was in the fourth grade. And my father worked nights, so during the day he was sleeping, and I had came home from school, and I came across the Spice Channel.
Not the Spice.
Anybody remembers the Spice
Channel? Grab your Jergens.
Now we're talking. Yellow bro, he's a fool.
Or whatever your cup of tea was.
Whatever your cup of tea is, whatever floats your boat. But I was watching the Spice Channel out of curiosity, and just really watching these people. And the crazy thing is, I am going to get somewhat explicit, but on the Spice Channel, I remember vividly there wasn't penetration. There was just people. Like, you know what I mean?
It was soft,
but there was like no money shot. You feel me? Like they were just, you know, I saw boobs, you know what I mean? And bush and bush. What have you. But you know, I was like, oh man, these guys are doing it. You know what I'm saying? And crazy, like I'm watching this joint and I hear a little shuffling and I look around the corner and I see my father like crawling and he pokes his head out and he was just like, I'm like, damn, I'm screwed. You know what I mean? We lock eyes and, you know, Spice Channel's on. You know, it'll be a little doggy style action is happening. And
you
then,
had a remote in hand with this. Return.
Bro, I was standing up, mouth open, and just looking over to my left. And I'm like, damn, here's my father. He sees me.
You know what I mean? Were you in it?
No, I was in the fourth grade, so I didn't know nothing.
You was in the TV.
I was definitely in the TV. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then from there, he was like, all right. You know, he told me, he's like, yo, turn the TV off, man. And then we went to my room, and I'm like, damn, I'm about to get a beating, bro. Like, I'm done. So he was like, yo, from there, he asked me, he's like, what do you know about sex? And I was like, you know, a guy and a girl, and they get on top of each other. And you know what I mean? Just speaking from a fourth grade perspective. And from there, he proceeded to kind of, like, educate me on, you know, like, the penetration. You know how it works, but he also stressed the importance of safe sex. You know what I'm saying? And just talking to me about the importance of condoms and what condoms did.
Right.
And you know, during that time, we went to the store, and at the moment it was embarrassing, but he gave me money and he was like, "I want you to go and I want you to know where to find condoms." You know what I mean? And I want you to find these condoms in this store, and I want you to purchase these condoms. You know what I'm saying? So he was with me and he gave me the money and he, you know, here they are, grab them, looking, are they going to fit you? Nah, but you know what I'm saying? He, you know, took it to the register and, you know, the young woman was just looking at us like, what the hell is going on? He was just like, you got to learn. You know what I'm saying? Man. So then we went back home and he was just like, you know, this is the condom and, you know, this is what you do. And, you know, kind of like an in-depth conversation, you know what I mean? But definitely ongoing, you feel me?
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily formal, but I think my pops had that discernment to know, okay, he knows about sex. It's time to have this conversation. You know what I'm saying? So,
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, thank y'all for, you know, sharing that. I think, you know, I'm sure everybody can relate. Everybody knows, like, either the time they were exposed to sex the first time or whatever the conversation it was. I mean, I think it's dope that your pops wanted to have an ongoing conversation. To me, that is definitely probably the wave that I want to be on. Like, instead of it feeling like it's a one-time deal, one-shot deal, like, you got to keep talking about it because it's definitely something that requires, like, it's not something you just, like, you figure everything out after one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, though, as you was talking about it, I was trying to think, like, man, what was, like, the first thing that, because, I guess the way that I first came across pornography was like at my friend's house. I think I was like third or fourth grade and he had like maybe a Playboy magazine or something like that. Right. Yeah. And that was kind of like the beginning of that kind of curiosity. I didn't have the Spice Channel or pay-per-view, but I did. You know how you back in the day where the channel was like kind of fuzzy?
Oh, scramble porn.
Yeah. So it was like you could hear what was going on, like whatever was happening. And it's just like, or the weird music playing in the background, the saxophone, whatever it was, just like, it's just like, this is just so awkward. But anyway, so like that was me. And then until like I figured out, you know, HBO had some stuff that came on after
real
dark.
Sex. Real sex. Take one. Right.
Dog. Yeah, man, that was me.
Yeah, we all grew up on that shit, man. Like, you know, introduced to a lot of sexual, like.
Some shows, I feel like I'd be ashamed to just list down all the shows that I follow. G-String Divas, whatever it was.
Did you watch The Bunny Ranch?
The Bunny Ranch.
You remember
probably.
The
one? I love it, man.
Probably.
He knows.
But, so anyway, I remember.
HBO is the GOAT.
Thank you. Thanks, HBO. You raised me.
You raised me. You introduced me to everything I know today. So.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for everything. Yeah. But anyway, so, like, going to the conversation, like, so, There's two moments I'm quickly like hit on, and then I'm gonna ask y'all some questions too. But like the first joint was, like I think my pops had somewhat of a conversation. I think we came back from like a movie or something. I can't remember, and we had a conversation, and he was just telling me like, "Hey man, like if you ever need a condom or something," I don't even know how he got on it. Yeah, maybe it was like something in the movie. I can't remember. Maybe I asked him a question. But he like communicated to me like, hey, if I ever needed a condom, I could come ask him. So I knew at that moment I was like, okay. But in my mind, like I never felt comfortable to actually go and ask my pops for a condom. But I mean, it was cool to know that he at least made that offer. But I remember when I was a little bit younger, I was like, I think the first time I remember like feeling safe enough to be like, okay, like maybe this is okay to talk to him about it. It was like some channel he was watching, and I think it was like a woman like about to nurse her baby, so like her breast was out, and I'm just sitting there like, oh wait, I'm not supposed to see that. I see a nipple, and it's pink, and I'm like, oh, this is different. And I'm just like, okay. And then he just kind of looked at me, was like, hey man, you with me? It's okay. It's cool. Just like, just be cool. We'll talk about it. And so I was like, oh, okay. Like, all right, you know, all right. And so, and it made it less awkward.
Sure.
So we had somewhat of a talk, but I mean, obviously that wasn't sex. That was just more like, hey, this is a natural thing. Like, this is, you know, a woman, you know, having
So many questions while your dad was casually watching.
That is pop. You may have to. It was, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Exposure. You know, cable, man, cable TV, bro. Like, stuff just be on. You know, this was like broad daylight. I'm gonna like it late. You know, but anyway. moving
so
on.
So many questions, right? Hey,
we're not judging you, Dad. But but here's the funny conversation was. I feel like the conversation about sex was actually too late. I feel like they, right. So it was like a moment when. So I actually remember verbatim. My mom was like twisting my hair. I was like maybe 14 to 15. I think I was 15 at the time. So I'm sitting there, and there was like some, like, you know how like they had the PSAs on and all the stuff. So it was like some PSA about like, funny enough, I think it was like safe sex or something like that. Mm. And my mom was doing my hair. My pops is in the kitchen, so she's doing my hair, and she was like, "Oh well, I know that ain't nothing that you got to worry about, is it, Rashad? Because I know you ain't out there doing." Or it was kind of like this assumption, like I didn't say a word.
Wow.
And I just was like. She was like, because you're not out here like that. You have never done anything like that, have you? And I just was silent. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, my God. And so my pops was the funniest thing. So he was in the kitchen, and he looked. He kind of had this, like, somewhat smirk.
My boy getting
it. It was like this smirk, but also kind of like, he didn't know how to feel, if he was disappointed or if he was, because he was like, well, I don't know. If I should be mad or happy that you're telling me the truth.
Right.
But it was just kind of like this moment that they probably felt like, dang, like, we didn't even get a chance to really prepare you for this. You out here. And I'm like 15. And so in that moment, I'm just like, dang, bro. Like, and so I was like, well, they probably was like, well, what do we talk to them about this now? Mm-hmm. So after that moment, it was just like, okay, well, it was what it was. That was it. So I didn't have my mom, I think she just probably felt uncomfortable to have a conversation, because I think she just in her mind just thought I was the innocent Rashad.
Right.
He ain't out here having sex, you know. And at that moment, I was like, I really won't. It was just something happened with my ex at one time that was just like we were. I thought I was trying to do something. I don't know what it was. Just like I was trying to lose the V card, bro. That's what it was. That's all it really was.
V card.
So, but anyway, like these experiences are laughable. But yo, like, you know, what would y'all say has been helpful for y'all as you kind of, you know, because you know the roles have switched. Y'all are both parents. We're all parents here, and so like, how has you know, this conversation taking place? Has it taken place? What has been helpful ways that you've approached this with your child or children?
That's a great question. I think hit on, man. If we want to be as direct as possible, it's really hit on.
I'm sorry.
No pun intended, right? No pun intended. But, so my oldest is 15. She'd be 16 in June. So I had the conversation a couple years ago. Just on the strength of, like, daddy giving you game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just on the strength of, like, I'm going to put you on and let you know what really to expect out here. And I think at the time, maybe she's 12, 13. You know, super innocent kid, but at the end of the day, just – prepping her, you know, just kind of letting her know. And, you know, it's just kind of having that explicit conversation about where do babies come from, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how you got here, you know, kind of giving her like the tea on life. And that certainly has prepped me to have a conversation with my son, which was a different conversation because I didn't want to have it with them. And it was kind of sort of like Jamar here, you know, kind of caught him hand in the cookie jar, research. You know, he got a laptop, and he didn't somehow got through the parental. You know, what I'm saying?
Our little hackers.
You know, he got through the parental.
He's smart though.
Yeah. You know, so
navigate this stuff.
Yeah, so he got through it, man. The parental guidelines or whatever, and he's searching. you know, body parts and, you know, looking up stuff and, curiosity. You know, curiosity, man. And so I really kind of sit down with him and kind of really break it down, man, and, like, where babies come from. And, like, he looked at me like, yo, what the, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's happening? Like, you know, so I think for him it was like, I ain't really ready for it, you know what I mean? He really didn't, like, soak it in to a point where he asked tons of questions. It was like, yo, I could tell he wasn't ready. Like, he just more curious. And he has access, I mean, to look it up. Like, when we was growing up, we didn't have the access to look shit up, you know?
Right.
It's different now. I mean, I think at some point, like middle school, early, late middle, I would say.
No, sex ed.
Yeah, you know, sex ed, you know, stuff like that. But that was middle school. So, you know, I think we're having these conversations early with these kids because, you know, a lot of kids are being exposed to sex very early. And I think it's always has been.
Yeah.
But I do think it's more culturally accepted in a lot of ways, where it's in our music more than it was when we were growing up.
Wow, yeah.
Now, you had, like, you know, you had Uncut on BET.
Oh, wow.
Every video now is uncut. Like, every song is really uncut. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, Trip, was it, was it a Tip Drill? Was it
Tip Drill.
Tip Drill, right?
Tip Nelly Drill joint? Was the one. That right. was the grand finale.
So,
but it ain't Tip.
Yeah. It's Tip Drill. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, you think about what, but every song is a Tip Drill. Every song is a Tip Drill, right? So, I mean, I think when you start putting that in perspective, our kids are up against a lot, and they're fighting a lot. And so, unsupervised, when they're unsupervised, the school bus, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Man, they learning all types of shit, man. So you got to start educating kids early on now, because they going to learn it. With or without you, like we kind of express, like, I know you, Rashad, you just expressed, like, shit, I'm already doing it. They trying to have that conversation with me now. You know, you 14, 15. So, like, you got to start having the conversation because your kids are going to learn on their own.
And I'll say this, man. The one thing I learned with having the talk with my son is that these kids know more than what we think. You know,
that's
and,
a scary part.
I mean, yeah, it can be a scary reality, but I think we need to lean into that and. Mm-hmm. Take advantage and opportunity of that. So the one thing I started noticing is that my son would, you know, it's puberty. You know what I'm saying? And his body is changing. And, you know, I want to be as graceful as possible. But as we get older as men, you know, our bodies talk to us. You know, whether we have, you know, hair growing on us or erections, and kids want to know, like, you know, they want to know, like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? And then from there, you know, exposure may come to them before we have the opportunity to expose to them. So there were little things that I was noticing that my son would say, and little innuendos and things like that, where I was like, I think it's time to, you know, one, sit him down and ask him, like, well, what do you know? You know what I mean? And from there, you know, I kind of start with the origin, like Lonell, like, hey, you know, this is where it started. You know what I mean? And my approach was, well, you know what? Let's talk about our anatomy first. You know what I mean? Let's talk about the male anatomy. And, you know, let's talk about the different parts of our, you know, the penis and, you know, the testicles. You know what I mean? That type of stuff does and the point of that. And, you know, I think the one thing that we didn't talk about that I want to talk about more is the female anatomy. You know what I'm saying? And talking more about the menstrual cycles and learning more about ovulation and stuff like that. But I kind of gave him like the intro course and how, you know, sex works. And you know what I mean? You know, it's kind of like reminiscent to when I had that conversation with my father and what condoms were. And, you know, not even crazy enough, but my son heard some of these things. And, you know, he may not know what the proper terminology was, but, you know, familiar with what the slang was, you know, and kind of redirecting him and kind of correcting him to say, no, this is what this is, you know, this is what it's called, and this is how it functions and things like that. Yeah. Man. And I think there are also a lot of guides out there that we can use, you know what I mean? Like, my wife came across a book that talks about like puberty for a young man, and we go and I kind of use that as my guide.
That's
know
good.
What I'm saying? So
I guess you're right. There are books out there about this. I think, So I appreciate what y'all are saying, because I think one, It takes some of the pressure off when you can like approach the conversation from a, I mean, I don't know if it's like a biological kind of set, but more so just like, hey, this is, let's take a step back and just look at the big picture, like about like where we come from, giving them game, teaching them at an early age, like, hey, like y'all need to know this, like this is, and being able to kind of put it back on them, like this is where you came, this is how you came into this world, right? And then, like you said, navigating through puberty and understanding a bit more of the changes that are you experiencing or may experience in the future, right? So I think that's good parenting, right? Being able to be proactive with those conversations. So I definitely want to applaud y'all for that, because I think that's just something that, you know, as we have been talking about before, like multi-dimensional. Yeah. Being multidimensional dads, multidimensional men, you know. So that's just something that we want to model with this. Anything else? Like, what else has been helpful in the conversation that you've had? Like, have you noticed maybe your kid like coming to you asking you questions, or like, do they feel more comfortable now? Do you feel like they have more confidence in this work? Because I think part of it to me, when I think about the stuff that they're exposed to, is like, it's not even a real, like a lot of the porn and stuff like that, it's not like a real experience for,
right.
For it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sense. Right. Yeah. Right. So I think that's the thing too, to like make sure that we communicate to our kids and even to ourselves too. Cause sometimes it's just like, you know, we can kind of substitute the real thing for, you know, mm-hmm. for that, right? So I think, yeah. What do y'all have to kind of add to that?
I'll say this, and I'll kind of continue to reiterate it, that it should be an ongoing thing, you know, an ongoing conversation. And my goal is to kind of create a safe space and an open space for my son to continually ask me questions about like what's going on, you know, out there, and what's going on with him. You know what I'm saying? Because, I don't think it should be a one-time thing. You know, I want to constantly educate him on what I know. And also, you know, with his mother, too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Leaning on to her so that she can continually, like, educate him on what's going on, man. Because before you know it, our kids, you know, are going to be teenagers. And we talked about, you know, in the previous episode, you know, like, you know, influence and what's going to happen there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like how we get in situations and stuff like that. So I think one of the more important things is I want my child to be educated. I want him to be prepared, and I want him to be protected. You know what I'm saying? And again, creating that space to where it's open to you having me that conversation. Like the one, I love Boys in the Hood. And I love the scene where Trey is getting his hair cut by his father. I think it's Furious Styles. Yeah. Coolest name ever. But, you know what I mean? Like, he was just like, you know, cutting his hair, and he was like smelling him. You know what I mean? You have a sex boy? You know what I'm saying? And then he was like, you know, well, let me hear about the story. You know what I mean? Like, I want to create that environment so I can hear and, you know, just help best I can. So.
Well, that's good, man. That's good. Yeah, I think creating a safe space to have that, right? Creating a safe space to have, to ensure your kid feels comfortable coming to you, right? And continue coming to you.
Right.
And I think that's something that, as you ask the question, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I need to reiterate that. I think that's something that I haven't got no recent questions or like, although you put it out there, hey, you come to me anytime, like let's have these conversations. There's no judgment, right? I do think there's a certain level of privacy with that as kids get older,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, especially if they feel like they're doing something that they're one ashamed of, or they're doing something that they want to keep private. You know, I do think, you know, kids are impulsive, right? And so I think to some degree it's like, I want to know, but do I want to know? especially when it comes to my oldest, right? Wow. You know, it's like I wanna make sure that, you know, you understand what the guidelines are, you understand what choice you're making and what the risk of that choice is. Yeah. And so like giving the tools and, you know, like I work with patients and work with parents all the time about, you know, catching their teens in the act or catching their teens finding out their kids are having sex. Mm. And, you know, but it's normalizing. This shit's normal, right? Ooh. Like, your teen is going to have sex. Like, it's part of, you know, we all lost our virginity when we were teenagers, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think that the temptation is greater than because it's peer pressure. You know, it's not saying that somebody's saying, hey, go do it. But no, it's you seeing what your peers and your friends are doing and you're feeling pressured that, damn, I'm not, mm-hmm. I ain't getting none, mm-hmm. you know? And then if you fucking with Spice Channel and real sex and all of the extras, you know what I mean? Like,
it's all over TikTok.
Think about it now. What's crazy now? Everything is a funnel to sex. Like, and so, like, kids have it so bad if they're on social media, man. Like, I swear, you know, they really don't have a chance, you know? So, like, your parenting has to be mindful of that. You know, honestly, my daughter, 15, she just got on TikTok, like, you know, maybe 13, 14, you know what I mean? Like, she don't got no Instagram. She got no, like, we put certain guidelines around those things because we know we on social media. We know what's out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing for no 14, no 13, no 12, no 11, no 10-year-old. You know, mm-hmm. ain't nothing on there for them. Ain't but grown-ass men, grown-ass women doing things that they shouldn't even be doing themselves, you know.
People
so,
who think they grown.
Yeah, that too, right? So I think it's setting some limitations around what your kids are doing. You don't have to give your kids everything, guys. I agree.
You know, 100%.
I think we're in a society where we overindulge our children, and
speak that game, bro.
We gotta recognize who we creating overindulgent individuals, and you know, if you have an overindulgent personality, you know, it leads to dangerous behaviors in general.
Bro, it leads to a hedonistic lifestyle to where only thing that you seek is pleasure.
Pleasure.
And that is not reality.
It's not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You cannot continue to always want to seek pleasure in your life. There's going to be times where you have to be uncomfortable.
True.
You have to suffer.
True.
You know, not wanting to suffer, but suffering is a part of life.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying?
It is. But I think this is the other part, because we always have a negative connotation about pleasure. We have to find healthy ways. Mm-hmm. We have to find healthy alternatives to pleasure.
Healthy alternatives.
Right? Yeah. And so pleasure has this negative connotation. So so in other words, let's find something healthy that brings me pleasure.
Yeah.
If it's like, I find it pleasure me going to the river and hearing mm-hmm. the waves crash, to the beach and hearing the waves crash, you know, or going to the river and seeing the river run, or, you know, or if it's, spending time with my kids, watching them, having movie night, or spending time hanging out with my friends, potting, like, you know, like finding your pleasure so it's not unhealthy.
Yeah. I think the word that came to mind as y'all were both talking was the word intimacy.
Mm.
Because I think there's different levels to intimacy. And I think that a lot of times as you get older, you have this desire to get closer to someone. And yes, like, you have your hormones, you have all this stuff going on that kind of leads to this idea like, oh, I want to be close to someone. That means we have to have sex. Mm. But that's not necessarily the truth. Like, intimacy is that desire to be close, to be, to show someone yourself, to be vulnerable, to be seen in such a way. And I think it's really important for our kids to know, hey, like, that's okay to desire that. It's okay to have desires. It's okay to be curious. And like you said, the healthy ways to experience intimacy has to be like, we got to model that or find ways for them to experience it. Because I think, you know, if we just know that in the back of your mind, it's like, well, the only way I can experience that, or if physical touch is your love language, then I'm gonna be looking for that. And I know, like, for my son, that's his love language. So we already know. He's like, man, look, let somebody. and so it's like, all right, how do we teach them to recognize the value of being close and having good friendships and valuing friendships over, not necessarily, like, I'm not trying to say don't have, well, part of me in my value system, if I'm honest, I do know that, like, it's I think there's, you know, like, having sex in the best context is in a committed relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But obviously, like, that's not going to be everybody's story. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you teach someone to value the intimacy, the relationship, so that that's a way of protecting them from, you know, from the other side of it, right? So I just wanted to throw that out there, the intimacy piece.
That's deep. And I don't know if it's a one way, right, or one point of view on that. But I would say from where my mind went when you said that was, you got to start with self, right? Mm-hmm. You got to start with, you know, having a sense of love for self, having a better connection with self, so you're not seeking connection seeking connection outside of self. Right. And I think a lot what I've seen in what I've seen throughout my journey is that, as personally and also other people, is that when you dysregulated within, and Lauryn Hill said it best, if you ain't right within, you ain't gonna win, right?
Come on.
You gonna win if you ain't right within.
Right. So with that said, like, if I'm not okay with being lonely, if I'm not okay with being alone with myself, what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pick that phone up. I'm gonna have a roster. I'm gonna seek
black book.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna seek validation. Right. I'm gonna seek affirmation from other people because I can't give it to myself. And it kind of goes to that level of inadequacy that sometimes goes goes unlooked, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's building, and I think this is kind of where the other part of this is building, and is raising kids, is building your kids up so they are secure within themselves. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That they recognize their uniqueness. One cool thing I've been doing with my kids, right, is I found these little message cards, and you can probably create these on your own, but on the card it says you're incredible, and inside is a message for them. So randomly I'll give each of them a card that says you're incredible, then it has a personalized message for them about how incredible they are. That's and cool. So like, it's building their confidence, it's building their self-esteem, because I'll be real, man, I wasn't getting no positive messages as a kid. You know, nobody wasn't really lifting me up. Right. And, you know, it's like, yo, you ain't doing right in school, or you eating too much, or, you know, y'all need to clean your room, or, you know, y'all ain't having sex yet. Like, it's like you constantly constantly got messages that you're not enough.
Yep.
Right. And I think that's what plagues our kids, our black kids, is that our parents aren't speaking life in kids, man. They're speaking death in kids. They're speaking negativity, right? And so what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna hit this street. This street gonna show me love, right? Because like Mike Jones back then, they ain't want me. Now I'm hot, they all lonely. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I mean? So when you think about different situations, man, like we turn to the wrong things to find validation.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well said, brother. It's well said, man. And I think, it does start with the home, and it does start with continuing to affirm our children. And, you know, I think we are in a culture, especially when we go back to talking about sex, it's like it's not really seen in some eyes as something that's sacred. And
yeah.
I think that's one thing that we have to revisit, you know, when we talk about intimacy and, you know, the difference between intimacy and sex, but the importance of it being and understanding how sacred it is, you know what I mean? And that comes down to, you know, knowing who you are within and knowing that, you know, knowing you're receiving something, you're giving something as well. And you have to realize that what you're giving is special. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
I agree.
Choose wisely.
Yeah. Man, y'all may have to rerun this and listen to it again, man. I know I'm gonna have to do that. This has been a dope conversation. I hope that everybody has. I've learned something from this for sure, man. And that's definitely something that I want to, you know, make sure I do with my kids. Definitely, I want to talk to them about, you know, where they come from and being honest with them about that. I want to make sure that I'm affirming them, teaching them how to value themselves.
Yes.
And recognizing, like, yeah, like, sex is something that is sacred, that we have to continue to reemphasize that, because the culture says something totally otherwise, right? And I think that's important as parents to help us reemphasize, like, the, you know, that's something that we have to communicate, you know. So
it's beautiful, man.
Yeah, yeah. So this has been dope, man. So look, we don't have no quote this time around, but y'all get a book. Y'all find a book. Find something that y'all can read up on. Or
how you gonna win if you ain't right with this?
Yeah, go listen to Lauryn Hill, man.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, for sure.
Lauryn Hill's Unplug is fire. If you haven't listened to it, you know, so check it out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Well, peace, life, love. We'll catch y'all in the next time, man.
Next time. Be blessed. Peace.